Like,
I don't understand why you have to dig so deep into it.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Mod State Podcast, the one and only. God knows you won't find any other dialogue like this. That's for sure. You can try.
Is it 3, 2, 1 and then go, or
three,
do we
two,
go
one,
on one?
Go. Okay. It's on go. It's always on go, right?
Well, I would you don't remember Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid?
Oh yeah, very much so.
Everybody, it's like, wait a minute, so is it one and then go?
Yeah.
It's like, oh my god.
Ah, boy.
Yeah, it's different here. It's a little different.
Indeed. So how you been?
My friend, I guess aside from the torrential downpours, which I don't mind, unless they, obstruct bridges and whatnot. Aside from that, can't complain a great deal.
Excellent. And a good Christmas, I assume?
I can't complain again. It's always great to see family, however briefly.
Yeah, oh, it's always, albeit frequent, briefly, but,
right.
Yeah, awesome, man.
I know you and the bride, your young bride, how was your Christmas?
It was good. We hosted, it was about 15 people here, kind of blossomed into a little bit more than we thought, but that's, why we got the new house and everything, so we could do such things. So it was very enjoyable, and we're hitting the road tomorrow for a couple days over state lines, and then we'll be back. So I am glad that we've had a moment to sit down and talk about. It may not be the longest episode, but it's something that you brought up that, I was about to put the phone down and get to bed because we were going to get on the road, and you just happened to text me something that just, every now and then you send me something. Every now and then you send me something that just lingers in the back of my head, and I felt it would be organic enough that we got together and just talked about it. Probably doesn't have a whole lot of, there's probably no media coverage on what we're talking about right now at all.
Well, that happens to us a lot, and it happens to us a lot, and I'll have to throw this out there. I'm sure that Mrs. Welline is very happy with me right now.
Why is that?
Because you're up, and not in bed.
Oh, well, we were watching,
because of my text.
We were watching some Netflix, so it's okay. We have a bit of alone time, and she doesn't mind it because I get to get the politics talks, talking out of my head, and then she doesn't have to listen to it as much. So it's a bit of a win-win, I suppose. So
Just remember, I parrot the phrase that it's cool to know nothing. So just remind her of that.
I most certainly will. She hears enough of it. So
I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
Indeed. Well, and I am sure that all of our listeners are just like, what did he send?
What is happening, Larry?
What did he send? However, before we begin, I would like to say I wish everybody across the globe, whether that is a Christian or secular faith system, belief system, or lack of, that I hope everyone enjoyed the Christmas holiday for whatever they make it, and for everyone else that's celebrating non-Christian traditions, whatever holiday, Kwanzaa, et cetera, whatever one everyone else is celebrating.
All right.
I wish them the best. So, but of course, for our international and domestic listeners, we appreciate you tuning in. As always, head over to modstate.com, where you can find all of our op-ed and opinion pieces, as well as links to the podcast. I'm happy that we're picking up steam again. We definitely took a little bit of time off, so it's nice to be flush with podcast episodes as opposed to making up for them.
Gonna be back and with this new one of the new series, I'll go ahead and tip our listeners off on this. One of the new editorial series that I propose we're going to go ahead and do is, you and I are going to go bounce back and forth on authorship, as we discussed, but it's going to be called Stride, and then colon, whatever the name is, the subtitle is. But based on the fact that we keep seeming to find new ways to hit what we call our stride, and it's very organic, and of course rewarded very much so by the listeners and your feedback, and it's really a part of what makes it very worthwhile.
Indeed.
So well, we thank you.
Yes, we probably don't say that enough. So it is very true. We do thank you. So yes, without further ado, what you brought up to me was, let me see if I can figure out how to frame it because the texts are all over the place. But what you mentioned was, what's that?
Jackass.
Oh, I mean, I don't mean that in a negative way.
They're out of order for one thing between Android and iPhone. Good luck,
dude. Your texts are all over the place. So when I get like 9 of them, I have to find the capital and just kind of piece it together. But I've gotten pretty good at it. So you mentioned to me, and we've mentioned this several times on the podcast, that there is absolutely a group of people, probably throughout the world, that just hate the president of the United States to hate the president of the United States. In their defense, it's not exactly hard to see why some people would think he's an asshole. However, you brought this up, that it wouldn't matter if he found the cure to AIDS, people would still find a reason to not like him, which leads us to some interesting allyships, if you will, if that's even a word, between between certain groups of people who now find themselves opposing President Trump's, military strategy at this point. And that is, it sounds like we will remain in Iraq. There is no timetable to leave there. However, now the president is emboldened by this Syria move to consider withdrawing completely from Afghanistan, which then, and not really, we talked quite a bit on the last podcast about the geopolitics of the Syrian withdrawal. And I don't think we'll talk much about the geopolitics, but more probably the cultural landscape and the domestic politics of a withdrawal from Afghanistan. We've talked on several podcasts about a potential Afghan solution. And I don't mean that in a weird Holocaust kind of way. I mean that in the solution to withdraw or to...
You didn't say it was the final solution.
You're right. I didn't say it was the final solution. However, the Afghan military solution in terms of the status quo, leaving or ramping up operations. Now, this, if the president followed through and had a withdrawal of troops from Afghanistan, we find a certain group of individuals more left-leaning in their political ideologies finding a weird partnership or train of thought with those who are currently on the ground in Afghanistan and their sentiments, meaning the leadership.
Is sleeping with the enemy here.
And oddly enough, when you find and I don't think we even need to put show notes in here, but it's been fairly obvious that the military commanders, the executive leadership that's there in Afghanistan, has warned the president that, look, and I think James Mattis, for that matter, has expressed...
The show notes,
what's that?
Well, for the show notes, I promise you I can send you at least one example of what sleeping with the enemy looks like.
Okay, so when you send me that, I'll definitely put it in there.
It's going to be a JPEG.
Okay. Oh, God. Okay. All right. Noted. We'll filter that first. However, even James Mattis had – well, okay, we'll go one step beyond James Mattis. Lindsey Graham was in the Middle East and had made reference to the fact that if we were to leave, that there would be a vacuum created – and we would have national security issues in the future because of foreign involvement and the Taliban rising to power. Not dissimilar to Iraq, when we left and created a vacuum because they had a very weak central government, and that would be the same as Afghanistan. Now, probably 100 podcast episodes ago, I did a huge, it wasn't very long, but I was thoroughly researched the history of Afghanistan, So I won't go into that as much, but it is interesting in terms of where they are with the central government, and why it is going to probably be nearly impossible for that to happen again. However, the point being, you have military commanders there, and you have some fairly well-known politicians who have expressed a dissatisfaction with pulling out of Afghanistan entirely, which then translates over to an interesting political group that we'll just call them the lefties, who also take a little bit of problem with leaving a theater like Afghanistan, and maybe for different reasons. One, the military is probably more concerned with ground being lost, whereas the lefty is probably less worried about the military operations themselves, but maybe more takes more problem with the humanitarian crisis that could happen there. Either right, way, it creates...
The undercurrent is that we have done good in Afghanistan. It's like, oh, so now you like our troops rolling and patrolling over there. Because, yeah, we had women voting in Afghanistan.
We did.
So, I mean, I'm finding back some vomit here. Please continue.
Okay. So, what I do find interesting is that when we first started Mod State, our ideals and our core value is to bring all viewpoints to the table, so long as they're not violent. So all nonviolent viewpoints. And we started this at a time as the country became more and more divided. And now it's funny that we see these unlikely potential partnerships for two groups of people that couldn't be further apart on the political spectrum, and just their daily operations. I mean, there's war fighters and the pacifists, if you will.
And you'd think I'd like this, right?
Well, I'm interested in your viewpoints.
No, I mean, we'll get there. But yeah. I know the people that have been listening are going, okay, so how are you going to find fault with this? Because, yeah, our phrase in vogue of late has been pan-partisanship, all political parties, viewpoints welcome. And nonviolence, we're not talking, of course, about foreign policy measures, but violence amongst the civilian populace. I think people know what we're getting at there.
Yes.
We'll get to all that later, but I'm sure there's some folks in our listenership that are going, well, yeah, this ought to be something that you could both easily get on board with, right?
Yeah, which leads me to the sort of central question here. And I realize in precast we discussed this a little bit, and I'll be curious to see where we go with it. Excuse me. However, the question then is, okay, so can let's just pretend I'm a fiscal conservative. I support our troops, etc. I'm painting a picture of a character we can all think of. And I think that the lefties just hate Trump to hate Trump. Anything he does, we're just going to hate. My question then is this really the case? Is this just to go against anything the president would like to do? Or is it a bit more intelligent than that and saying that, listen, the lefty group, will just generalize broadly here, that we are not for war. If we could have world peace, of course we'd have that, and I think most people would think that a good idea. But I think
we're right. Remember that Senator Robert Kennedy, lost his life for proposing a military solution in support of Israel.
Mm-hmm. Very true. So, I guess my overall question is it. Again, without losing my train of thought here, that it isn't that they are against war or are okay. So I lost my train of thought. My point.
In their view, if I can help you out here for a second, is that this was not only a shock to everyone, but it also goes against. We were doing intensive planning apparently with the French and the Kurds and other allied forces about a long-term plan in Syria, etc. et al. And then all of a sudden, this—it's like, nope. And so there's groups that snake bitten here going, well, what the hell would we spend all this time for?
Yeah, I guess that's exactly it. That in the general sphere, the generalization of the lefty is saying that, listen, we can't just abandon, though it almost be two decades, we can't abandon these people. We can't abandon the mission there, even though I don't necessarily have to be in favor for more military intervention in the 100+ countries that we're in and the money we're spending. Unfortunately, this is we've created this, and this is our consequence. And are we willing to sort of bear the moral burden of the collapse of a culture there to radicalism that we saw in a place like Iraq? And to me, it doesn't really create a good solution. It just prolongs the status quo, which I think then leads you into the kind of the next point and the point that you made on the Syrian podcast episode that we did. I think it was 168 that we did. And that really is, okay, so it doesn't really matter if we stay. But the question is, you are, and I guess I'm putting words in your mouth here when I say that it can't be the status quo. And it's disingenuous to feed the president of the United States this line that, well, the Taliban's getting stronger, we have to stay, where it's really we need to shit or get off the pot. We're either leaving or we're fixing the problem now.
Okay, let me posit this to you. Let me posit this thought, okay? It harkens back to my strange bedfellow from the 2016 election, Michael Moore, when around the time we got into these wars, he was on Capitol Hill saying, hey, your daughter or your son's 18, they signing up? Yeah. And I know this shocks you. There were no takers. Well, these four-star generals, the military-industrial complex, it's obvious what their angle is. La guerre pour toujours, you know, as the French say, the forever war.
Oh, like we always said, keeps us employed.
Right. We're there indefinitely. It's the new Vietnam, minus the just tearing the country apart daily. So then on the other side, it's disingenuous because, okay, do you realize what this looks like? If not, they can't really get there easily anymore, but take a stroll around the Wounded Warrior Ward. It's not your little darlings that we're talking about coming back missing things, okay, because we're patrolling and trying to police here. No. To me, you put it colloquially, I'll say it this way. We either go in and say, Russia and Iran, no, you're not going to massacre the Kurds. Assad is going to be tried for war crimes. Get the hell out. And dare Europe not to go along with us. Of course they would. The fact is, Turkey has to keep their mitts out as well. We go in to the wall, okay? The window and all the bitches fall, okay? I'm paraphrasing, yes. Or we say, look, we don't want to have another Beirut 1983, Lebanon, the Marine barracks that got blown up with over 300 people, Marines and corpsmen lost their lives because we're just occupying a place and not – there's no long-term solution. You know, again, I go back to the Taliban burning down the poppy fields. Now, look, Google image search, folks, for U.S. Marines patrolling poppy fields. It's there. Okay? This is not a conspiracy theory. And we have a drug epidemic in this country? No. This stinks to high heaven. Okay? And yes, we'll get to why in the end, I think, all around. This is blatant hypocrisy and disingenuous on both sides, but because we need to progress here, if you will. But this is beyond the pale.
Okay, so I'll bite. That being, I can absolutely see how beyond just hypocrisy, it's just to not like someone. So if anyone has a really good argument to make, I'm more than willing to sit down and have that conversation. Now,
on what?
Well, I mean, on anything in terms of Syria or foreign policy. That's why you and I can bat words around like hypocrisy, and I'm willing to take the bait because I know that you've got a fairly well articulated response, as opposed to just not liking the president for whatever the president does. I'm not a fan of the president.
It's not necessarily easy to like. I get that.
Yeah, okay. I'm not a fan of the president, but however, when a certain argument is made, you know, I will come to the defense of the man. He is the leader of the United States, and I find myself defending him from time to time.
There's been an incredible amount of good done regardless. Let's give it a full year under the new tax law to see what happens. The one in, two out policy on regulations was a stroke of, whether you want to call it brilliance, I'm going to call it good for the United States. That's what it was a stroke of in our economy. The fact that the matter is, again, this is before President Trump came to the fore. Became president, but in Afghanistan, we've had women voting. It, to me, that alone has validated our mission there, okay? But as far as this administration, look, the people knew. We sent the Joker from the Dark Knight, and I don't mean any disrespect there, to D.C. People that were so desperate for change, they didn't really know the agent that they were unleashing. And whether we like him or not is irrelevant. I've made this case before, and I'll say it again. We're all sick of politicians who can't be bothered to follow up on their extensive campaign promises. Well, this man, whether you like him or not, again, that doesn't matter here. Now he's being called a box checker. You know, he's just checking off boxes to his caucus. You know, okay, well, which is it? Do you want a politician that follows up or not? Whether you like it or not, the man has done, as far as we've seen, the utmost to fulfill those promises, whether they're good or not, such as the wall, whether they're feasible or not. So I think there's a lot to be said here for the fact that, yeah, there's a lot of good. I mean, look at the civil rights accomplishment with the criminal justice reform. That's buried. That's a non-issue on Ceylon. CNN brought it up yesterday solely as a reason to say it's a shame that there's so much turmoil around the legislation, around the administration. That's the only reason they brought up the landmark First Step legislation. Okay, so I'll get to the meat of this here that I promised you precast, and that is, at the end, you called it, you said, look, of course there's more media exposure to this. Now, it's a little sicker than that. It wasn't the proof here.
So just to preface.
I made the case already for the military-industrial complex as to why there, but go ahead. What'd you say?
I said, just for context, the media I was talking about was you had made the case that, well, we're not that same generalized lefty isn't as concerned about Christians having their arm chopped off in Africa. To which I said, it isn't that it's not relevant. It isn't that it isn't horrible. But I think in terms of mental...
We haven't presence there.
Yeah, in terms of a mental allocation of resources for one individual, we have just not had the exposure there. If we had been in the DRC or South Sudan or Chad or somewhere where there things were happening over the last 10 years, they may be concerned about
We let the French we like to make fun of clean up the Taliban and Al Qaeda in Africa.
We did let them do that.
They had business there, but
anyway, I wanted to make context for what you were about to.
Absolutely. But the real reason in terms of the progressives, because I told you, when the president will sometimes tweet something zany, how many times have said, all right, I'm going to check the executive orders. I'm going to go to whitehouse.gov, see what's up. Mm-hmm. Because they still haven't caught it. Like when he tweeted at Christmas time, here I sit in the White House, and in parentheses, all alone. Mm-hmm. I kid you not. You know, he says he's basically more or less waiting for everybody to come back and make a deal. But the media took him so seriously when he put in parentheses, poor me. Here I sit in the White House all alone, in parentheses, poor me. They took it seriously. He was saying, you know, he was actually wallowing and having to be in the White House. I'm going, y'all don't get it, do you? You still don't get it that this guy's greatest in terms of notoriety is the greatest troll ever to live.
Yeah, that was a very good troll Christmas tweet.
It was. It totally just went over their heads. For those with the intellectual high ground, I mean, I'm shocked. But this really comes down to why I believe that it doesn't matter that what he does, what he accomplishes. Again, the civil rights deal being just buried. But the reason being, akin to me telling you, look at the executive orders. I look for many on the left to X amount of Twitter accounts, Representative Cortez, for instance, or what's going on a late night. And it wasn't until late night thought this was a good reason to lampoon the president until they made the case that it became a viral social media thing. And yes, you did make the case that that's about exposure, okay? But again, I'm getting to the source of this and why this alliance won't last, why its virtues won't hold true. And that's because everybody's disingenuous all around. With those kinds of bedfellows, their marriage doesn't make it, okay? So that's the, you'd think I'd be all about the unity here. It can't last, okay, if it's all about him. And it is.
Yeah. Well, and I don't disagree with you. I in my perfect world, it's a very, most things are very well thought out, and the arguments that one would make for or against military intervention, et cetera, is very thought out. But it is much easier, and it is better for comedy to just troll back and to make fun of. And it isn't even that it's
just they're educating people, whether they mean to or not. It's where people are getting their education.
Yeah. And it's very true. I mean, that I think that was something that came up years ago on one of the HBO, I'm trying to remember, it wasn't John Oliver, it was a predecessor to John Oliver, but found that that's where most left-leaning young people were getting their news, which I found problematic. It is dangerous, but it's also dangerous the same way someone gets their news from an opinion site on an opinion show on Fox News.
Fox News, yeah. If all you adhere to is that, I mean, yeah, any one source. I mean, you better hope that source is on the up and up.
Yeah, I mean, if you are constantly listening to Rush Limbaugh every single day as your source of opinion, it really is no different to me than getting all your news from a late night talk show host or TV.
The hypocrisy knows no bounds. For instance, President Trump got his bachelor's in microeconomics from the University of Pennsylvania, not Penn State. University of Pennsylvania is an Ivy League school, the Wharton School of Business specifically, within the University of Pennsylvania in Philadelphia. Well, so he can't bring that up without getting blasted. But how many times would he have to hear that President Obama was a constitutional lawyer? I mean, seriously, the treatment. And yes, on the other hand, if President Obama had pulled this stunt, if you want to call it on a whim stunt, that President Trump did in Syria and Afghanistan, Fox News would have been coming apart at the seams.
Well, and beyond this, just the kind of hypocrisy, I think the other thing that happens too, that's probably true on both the right and the left, and probably more for young people today, is that the average attention span for these news cycles is just unbelievably fast. And it's very easy to jump on board and be outraged by a certain thing, and it pretty much passes within a day or two. And I think that's just the reality that we live in.
I mean, what's going to happen? What happens if one of my precast predictions from a couple of weeks ago, that one way or the other, whether it's he can legally do it via executive order, goes through Congress, however it comes down, that marijuana goes down from at least being Schedule 1, or if it gets descheduled altogether, I don't know, and gets regulated like alcohol, regardless, one way or the other, I believe the needle's going to move there. I made that call under President Trump.
Yeah.
They're going to crap on it. It's not – I'm calling it right now. Or it'll be buried in page 12, and I'm going, really? You're going to bury the legalization of marijuana?
No, well, that will not be buried. But you know what? It'll be interesting. So
they will. Look at what they just buried with the first step.
I can already think of some HuffPo news headlines, and tell you what.
Wouldn't you have thought of them for first step too? Couldn't you see? I'm sure you thought, surely HuffPo's got a beautiful editorial. Nope.
Well, tell you what.
It'll be interesting to see.
Let's save this at this point because I think
I could be wrong.
I think what I would like to do after the new year is to sit down and have a 2019 sort of prediction list. And it does not have to be maybe what you'd like to see. And we can be as outlandish as we'd like to be. We can predict news cycles. We can do whatever we want.
Think about this. I think I made this point two episodes or so ago. November 2019 is the exact time frame cited at the beginning of my favorite film of all time, Blade Runner. Los Angeles, November 2019. One of the ideas we discussed would be cool to make this happen. I'd love to go in and just remotely host a show together in LA in November of 2019. But we can make, I mean, think about it. Cops had flying cars in the film. Sure, we're not necessarily right there yet, although they're testing that in not Qatar, but
Dubai.
Dubai. Yes, thank you. With that, though, that's kind of scary. We're already there. So, I mean, I'm thinking of a Blade Runner type theme here, you know? Well,
all right. I like it. I like it. Let's. I mean, well, we got a couple days, so we can roll with it.
We should review Blade Runner.
We haven't done a review on that, have we? Or we just haven't done a weekend beat in a while, have we?
We'll have to conjure something up soon on that. But yeah, I look forward to it. The 2019 predictions list, and you know, I can really we can start to piece together some things macro in terms of November 2020 as well. But that'll be for another time.
Indeed, indeed. Well, my friend, it was great chatting with you. I had to be on the road early tomorrow. So
on the road again.
So until next time.
Au revoir.
We'll see you.